This is A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. Oral arguments are underway in the Supreme Court today regarding same-sex marriages. There are 37 states and the District of Columbia that have legalized same-sex marriage. 12 states, including Georgia, have a constitutional amendment and law that bans same-sex marriages. And in Nebraska, the ban is by constitutional amendment only.
Now, in Georgia, the story begins back in 2004. You might remember that there was a constitutional amendment put to voters, and here was the wording on the ballot. Shall the Constitution be amended so as to provide that this state shall recognize as marriage only the union of a man and a woman? And actually, there was another part to that amendment which said Georgia would not recognize same-sex unions from other states. Nearly 77% of the voters said, yes, we shall amend the Constitution to impose that ban. But has public opinion changed in this state?
My name is Mike Prohaska. I think it's important that if, you know, they should enjoy all the same rights that myself or anybody else can enjoy. So be it.
Amanda Miller, yeah. I'm in favor of it. One of my roommates is gay, one of my best friends is gay, and I went to an all-women's college in Atlanta, so I knew a bunch of queer people, and I think that not only is it like a moral issue that people who love each other should be able to get married, but also like legally for the rights to like visit each other in the hospitals and things like that, I think that it should definitely be legalized.
My name is Goddess. The marriage is like, I don't agree with it. Like, I don't think that it's a problem if somebody chooses to want to be in their household and in their environment, their place of their being or whoever they want to be. They want to be with that type of person. But as far as marriage go wise, and then even when it comes down to base, when you have the same sex marriages and they have children, the children are confused.
Oh, Sarah Williams.
Wesley Collum.
It doesn't bother me. If that's what you want to do, that's great. Whatever's going to make you happy, that's fine.
I'm the same way. I think when you love somebody, you love somebody. That's all there is to it. It doesn't matter. Look at us. So.
I'm Christine Weisbarth. I do insurance, and I enroll a lot of people insurance that are in domestic partnerships. Well, my husband and I were living together prior to marriage, but I couldn't get on his insurance because even though we were domestic partners, it wasn't classified. Domestic partners, only same sex. If you're gonna be on somebody's benefits, you should have to get married and you should have to file joint income tax returns and claim each other's incomes. Go ahead, go get married and be subject to the same rules, regulations, and taxes that we are.
My name is Reverend Enoch Rosser. My views on same-sex marriage, I don't think a man should be married to another man. A woman shouldn't be married to another woman. I don't think that should be. That's not God's will. Because in the back in the Bible, in the olden days, he brought the whole city because they wanted to be, men wanted to be with men. That was in Solomon's Gomorrah. He brought the whole city because they wanted to be with men, wanted to be with men. And if that he did it back then, it's the same today. God's word hadn't changed, no. It's the same.
I'm Carissa. I think that everyone deserves a chance to be happy. And if it's not your life, why should you care? That's what I think.
Pam Williams. Even if I wasn't with a woman, I still believe that you should. You should be able to. I don't think that there should be a court or anybody saying that somebody can't marry, regardless of what color, sex, you know, they shouldn't allow it. They should be able to be married.
And those are the thoughts of some who spoke with our producer, Mary Claire Kelly. Georgia State Associate Professor of Law Tanya Washington was among a group of legal experts who filed an amicus brief in today's case and is, like many, closely monitoring today's oral arguments. Professor Washington, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin with this. Normally, these arguments are 90 minutes, but today, yes, 2.5 hours will be allowed. That's unheard of here.
It is. They are definitely affording more time, and I think that's great. The issues are challenging to the court, and you also have consolidated cases, so I think they want to make sure that they have time to explore all of the issues that are going to be relevant to the decision.
And there are four consolidated cases.
Yes.
Today's argument centers on two basic questions. Let's begin with the first one. Does the 14th Amendment require a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex?
Yes.
What do you?
So they are going to finally address the direct question of the constitutionality of these state marriage bans that prohibit same-sex marriage.
And then the second is, does the 14th Amendment require a state to recognize a marriage, two people of the same sex, when their marriage was lawfully licensed and performed out of state?
That's exactly. And in Georgia, we do have both bans. We have the state marriage ban by constitutional amendment as well as law, statute, and we also have the non-recognition law. So if someone moves to Georgia from California, their marriage is not recognized and they cannot even litigate any issue arising out of that marriage in Georgia courts.
Now, your amicus brief that you filed was one of 148. I actually saw a picture on the internet of all of them stacked up, and they were above somebody's thigh. So
yes.
I'm sure the court had time to read everything you wrote.
Absolutely.
But your argument was interesting because it centered on the children of same-sex couples, and we're not talking about, say, children who were the result of a heterosexual couple where one then came out, because those kids would get benefits. But we're talking about, let's say, children who, through in vitro fertilization or adoption, are children of that same-sex couple.
Yes.
But looking at your argument about children, I mean, you're saying there's unequal treatment here for those kids.
Yes.
Under the same-sex bans of the state. But couldn't the states respond, look, individual states make lots of laws and regulations that affect children all the time, and it's their prerogative to do that under the Constitution. Certainly, with those laws and regulations, different children in different states would be treated differently. And that's the way the Constitution divides the powers between the federal government and the states.
I think that definitely is an argument that will be made in response to the argument that these bans harm children's interests. But I think it's important for us to consider that the state is often, in defense of these bans, justifying the prohibition in protection of children's interests. And my question is, which children? You have children in same-sex marriages, in same-sex families, whose rights and legal rights, economic interests, and legal protections are going to be adversely impacted when these laws are imposed. It also affects their legal parental relationship with the non-biological parent. And every child deserves parents. And the court has recognized that in a number of contexts, that it is in their best interest to have two legal parents.
So you're saying the court in other cases has recognized this as a right of children across the country?
Yes.
Okay, and then therefore the state shouldn't have same-sex bans, same-sex marriage bans.
That compromise that right.
But then couldn't, and this is a hypothetical, mm-hmm. and it's just from a legal argument here, couldn't you extend that legal line of reasoning to cover other kinds of marriage arrangements, like polygamy, for instance?
I do think that we have to, if we're going to use the best interest of children as the lens through which we analyze what protection we're going to provide to families, then we may be expanding our, you know, the categories of domestic arrangements that are legal. And I know a lot of people have issues with that, but I don't. I'm not among them. My concern is that children grow up in a wholesome environment where they are loved, provided for, and there are a whole host of legal protections that attach to a legal parent-child relationship that they're deprived of if the court doesn't recognize the marriage. So it's not about the adult's rights as much as, for me, and as articulated in the brief, as how it's impacting children.
Well, we've also seen the courts make rulings on same-sex partnerships when the two have split. And then there's a child involved, and one would argue, see, that's why we oppose this, because here's a child now that is caught in between two people of the same sex who've split. But then the other argument is that, well, then, do you have the right to make a parent play, you know, support to a child that is not biologically theirs, or where the state recognized they weren't a couple to begin with?
Right. And I mean, we have a 51% divorce rate in the United States. And so we have children that are caught in that position when their opposite sex parents divorce. Mm-hmm. What is challenging to me is that you have children who have two parents in California where their parents' marriage is recognized, they move to Georgia, and automatically they have one parent. And if something happens to that one legal parent, the other individual who's been raising them as a parent is a legal stranger, and they can't even litigate that in Georgia courts. That puts children in a particularly vulnerable position.
In November, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the bans in Ohio, Tennessee, Michigan, and Kentucky, which really sort of broke this other string where federal rulings sort of were in ruling in favor of states to recognize same-sex marriages. Does it carry any weight that these last rulings upheld those bans? Could that have any effect, you think, with the justices?
I don't think the timing would have an impact. I think the fact that there finally was a circuit split, a mm-hmm. split among the federal circuits, may have inspired the court to decide the issue. And the Sixth Circuit decision was premised on states' rights, and that's how they read Windsor.
We're speaking right now with Georgia State Associate Professor of Law Tanya Washington. She was among a group of legal experts who filed an amicus brief in today's U.S. Supreme Court case on state bans on same-sex marriage. The oral arguments are going on right now mm-hmm. up in Washington, D.C. Let's take a look at the legal side of the part of Georgia's ban. And Georgia, we should say right up front, is not one of the states involved in today's case, but it could certainly be affected.
Yes.
Georgia has that second part of its ban, which says we're not going to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states. And so then the question becomes, constitutionally, is Georgia required, or any other state that has this language, required to do that? I mean, there are all sorts of laws that, or there's part of the Constitution that talks about states should recognize things that are done in other states, but there are plenty of instances where there are exceptions to that. So let's lay the legal groundwork for this.
Absolutely. The constitutional provision you were referring to is the Full Faith and Credit Clause. And this non-recognition law that exists in a number of states, and it's often referred to as the mini DOMA, the mini defense, the state defense of marriage acts, they actually represent a departure from the way states generally treat other states' marriages. Right. So we have different age requirements, consanguinity requirements in terms of blood relationships that vary from state to state. And there are very few instances where a state will not recognize a marriage that is recognized by a sister state.
But doesn't the state, since it regulates things like marriage, have the prerogative to say, okay, we're going to recognize this, but not that?
Well, arguably, there is a public policy exception to the rule. So the state can depart from the full faith and credit mm-hmm. requirement where it is against its public policy to do otherwise. And so Georgia and other states that have enacted non-recognition laws are taking advantage of that. I think we have to have, particularly because of the impact of children, a national policy or law with respect to marriage.
But do we have that in any of the other laws that affect children? I think that's part of the issue that I think the states might raise.
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to, and I always use Brown as an example, mm-hmm. we didn't allow some states to decide to maintain segregated schools and other states to do otherwise because we knew children's educational interests were at issue. And so here, children's interests in a stable family environment are at issue, and I think that warrants a uniform law.
You bring up Brown versus the Board of Education. It's very interesting because it's a question that we've been hearing for the last few years about, are the rights of the LGBT community and civil rights, are they mirrored? Should they be mirrored? Both sides, I've heard people say yes, I've heard people say no. What are your thoughts on that?
For me, it's about equality. And equality is not divisible. It either exists for everyone or it exists for no one. And so treating people unfairly in violation of fundamental interests and rights is wrong, whether it's on the basis of race, religion, sexual orientation, gender, or any other identity.
Let me ask you this, because Governor Nathan Deal, right here in an interview with Dennis, said that the state would uphold whatever ruling came from the High Court. Was that surprising to you at all?
No, I applaud the governor for doing that, for making that statement, and to the Attorney General for Owens for making the statement as well, that they were going to respect the court's decision, because we've seen other states have already indicated, I believe Alabama is among them, that they intend to challenge a ruling with which they disagree.
Let me have you put your legal handicapper's hat on here. Is it possible that the High Court could rule in the cases of just the states that are before it and issue a ruling that would apply only to them and not to other states like Georgia that have the same-sex marriage ban? Or do you expect a ruling that will be a precedent for everybody?
I expect and hope for a ruling that will apply to everyone. I think the general public was disappointed with the decisions in Perry and Windsor, and that they were as limited as they were. Decisions by the court 2 years ago dealing with the Federal Defense of Marriage Act as well as the California marriage ban. And I think people expected a broader, more applicable ruling, and mm-hmm. I think that's what we will get here.
And over the last few months, we've heard some justices kind of drop little hints here and there in sort of Supreme Court justice speak that people are reading as maybe signals about how the vote might go, indicating that perhaps the vote would be to overturn all these state bans on same-sex marriage. First of all, do you think there's anything to that? And if there is, how unusual is that?
I don't know that I've heard comments by the individual justices, but I do think their behavior in responding and their rulings in responding to certain appeals, denying certain appeals and allowing same-sex marriage to proliferate in the wake of Windsor signals that perhaps they're ready to issue a ruling.
And real quickly, Professor Azarura, we're coming up short of time here. There's been talk that Justice Kennedy could be the key figure in all of this.
Isn't he always?
Yeah.
It's the Kennedy Court.
But in what you were saying, it sounds as if you're saying that in denying the appeals from states in the past on more limited grounds, they're saying, look, we're not about to reinstate or allow states to go forward after we've let people in some states go ahead and get married and then throw them into legal limbo. Is that a fair summary of what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think it would be incredibly disruptive to allow certain marriages to exist or to try to invalidate existing marriages. There are about 250,000 of them.
Yeah, what would happen to those folks?
They would no longer be married if that were the ruling, and I think that would really be a problem.
Tanya Washington is a Georgia State Associate Professor of Law. Professor Washington, thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed this.